Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grendene S.A.'s conference call to disclose and analyze the results of the third quarter 2018. We would like to inform you that this conference call will be held in Portuguese with simultaneous translation into English. At this point, all participants are connected in listen-only mode, and later we will start the Q&A session when further instructions for you to participate will then be provided. If you need support during the conference call, please request assistance from an operator by typing star zero. Let me remind you that this conference call is being recorded and will be made available at ri.grendene.com.br. The main officers of Grendene are here, who will also be available to take any questions you might have. Rudimar Dall'Onder, Chief Executive Officer, Gelson Luis Rostirolla, Executive Vice President, and Francisco Schmidt, Chief Financial Officer and IRO, as well as the company's top management. We would like to inform you that the press release for the third quarter 2018 is available on the website ri.grendene.com.br in Portuguese and English versions. Before proceeding, I would like to clarify that any forward-looking statements made during this conference call about the company's business prospects and operating and financial estimates are mere forecasts based on management's expectations regarding the company's future. These expectations are highly dependent on market conditions, the country's overall economic performance, industry, and international markets. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Francisco Schmidt, CFO and IRO of the company. Mr. Schmidt, you may proceed, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for attending another Grendene's conference call to discuss and make comments on our results related to the third quarter 2018. We'd like to remind you that in addition to the information in the press release and all the statements we posted yesterday on our website, we usually post an additional file referred to as conference call presentation, third quarter 2018, to facilitate the follow-up of the conference and contains a summary of the main figures. In my comments, I do not intend to repeat the numbers that are already included in the press release and in the conference call presentation, but rather call your attention to the points we consider relevant so that you can better understand the long-term prospect. As usual, before discussing the company's performance, I would like to draw your attention to the distribution of dividends. Following the current dividend payout policy, the management proposed the distribution of 47.2 million ad referendum for the third quarter 2018 as anticipated dividends based on the decision of the general meeting that approved the accounts for the financial year 2018. Dividends will be paid as of November 21st, 2018. Shareholders holding common shares enrolled in the company's records on November the 5th, 2018, which is the cutoff date in B3, will be entitled to receive the amounts. The ex-dividends from November the 6th, 2018. Let's now discuss the performance of the third quarter 2018. The domestic market remains weak in the footwear sector up to September, and the expected recovery has been postponed. In the international market, the economic deterioration of Latin American countries and exchange rate volatility has led to a drop in the shipments. This is the scenario we have been experiencing throughout 2018, with the use of our industrial capacity below what would be necessary to absorb, without losses of margins, the increases in cost and the uncertainties in demand that we have been facing. the results of the third quarter 2018 were not good. And as a consequence, the results accumulated in the first months of 2018 were in line with the first months of last year, reversing the solid results of the first half of 2018, except in the last line, where we continue to fall due to the reduction in interest rates. Year to date, net revenue increased by 2.9%, EBIT 0.2%, and the volume of pairs grew by 0.9%. As a result, net income fell by 47.1% in the financial result, with a drop of 18.6% in the last line. Practically due to the drop in interest rate. In the third quarter 2018, the exchange rate had a strong positive impact, which can be observed in the increase of revenue per unit in reals per exported pair of 27.8% against a dollar increase of only 2.2%. However, this strong positive impact on gross and EBIT margins was not enough to offset the increase in costs of 5.2%, a small growth of 1.1% in the volume of pairs in the domestic market, and the drop in export volume in the third quarter 2018 in comparison to the third quarter 2017 of 17.7%. Net income in the third quarter 2018 fell by 23.4% in relation to the third quarter 2017. The increase in costs in the third quarter 2018, when the COGS increased by 5.2%, higher than the 0.5% increase in net revenue, basically due to the increase in raw materials and other inputs such as freight, packaging, pigments, among others, which can be observed in the evolution of COGS per pair that grew by 7.9%. Again, we are moving in the opposite direction of the market, and we grew in the volume of pairs in the domestic market in the third quarter 2018 and in the first 9 months of 2018, despite the weak demand in the Brazilian market footwear. Also in exports, in spite of the strong drop of volume of pairs, shipment of 8.8% year-to-date, our share in Brazilian footwear exports grew by 32.8% in last year to 33.5% in the first 9 months of this year. The good news is that the sellout recovery, although rather timid, especially on Children's Day, which was very positive for our product. And this is a sign that the fourth quarter may be more favorable. We also consider Melissa Club to be a highlight, since it grew by 291 franchise stores, and of which 11 are Mini Club Melissa, a new format that has met the good expectations in terms of evolution, and also the partnership with the singer Anitta with Ipanema brand, which has also been generating positive results. The financial results confirmed the trend already outlined the first quarter 2018. The central bank kept interest rates unchanged, and the accumulated decline of nine first months of 2018 in comparison to the same period of last year was 103 million, which was determining for the drop of the net income of 410.5 million in the 9 months of 2017 to 334.2 million in the first 9 months of 2018, a drop of 76.3 million. Out of this drop, 45.5 million is a result of the hedge operations related to orders which have not been filled yet. With these results, operating cash generation in the first nine months of 2018 was 427 million reals, raising net cash to 1.8 billion and gross operating income to 1.9 billion reals, with increases of 8.5% and 6.5% respectively versus December 31st, 2017. We hold the expectation that this will be a year when volumes will be recovered at a level which is likely to be a little higher than that was reported last year. Our policy will continue to focus on the recovery of our margins and, whenever possible, on the achievement of higher absolute results. These were the comments we wanted to make related to results. I'm available to take any questions you might have.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, we can now begin the question and answer session. In order to pose a question, please enter star 1. To remove the question from the list, please type star 2. We kindly ask you not to use the speakerphones to ask questions. That way, an improved sound quality will be offered. Please stand by while we collect the questions. The first question comes from Wagner from Quantitas. Good morning. Thanks for having me. I would like to know, because you mentioned international markets are weaker, especially here in Latin America, I would like to know if you are taking a more specific measure for our region. And how are you considering exports? The measures that are being taken by other markets as well. And I would like to understand, for the fourth quarter, whether or not you are considering a more extended deadline for customers or a specific promotion for certain products, or if you are increasing your expenses on marketing to spur the sales in the domestic market. Okay, regarding exports, in Latin America, in our assessment, it has a lot to do with the economic situation of the market. We do not believe, and the export figures show that we are not losing market share in terms of exports, but it is the demand that is dropping. Recently, we had a reversion in terms of the expectations from Argentina, because there was a sign of some improvements, but it did not really take place. And some countries were having different issues. Paraguay had a decrease in demand also. Well, basically, there's not much we can do about those things the way we see it. But it's clear that Argentina is no longer as important as it was in the past. And this is usually where we export the most to Argentina, in the third quarter. Well, your other question, yes, we are trying to increase our share in other markets. And we mentioned the protectionism policies of certain countries. It has changed a little bit, but we still have countries that pose difficulties to our exports. Countries like Turkey, for instance. Well, and we just have to reduce our volume. But we have been working with other markets, and in terms of our brand, we're being more aggressive with Melissa abroad. We believe we can gain more market share. in other markets, but always considering a solid growth with a promotion of products that grow or sell more in one quarter and not in another. And in our domestic market, we want to develop solid relationships with our retailers in such a way that it becomes a long-term relationship. That's how we've been trying to grow abroad, and we shall continue to do so. But we have to consider the exchange rate scenario. But in the long run, this is what we pursue to do, to grow solidly with products that we have the power to pricify, that we're not so vulnerable in terms of exchange rates. Regarding our international market, there's nothing unusual, really, in terms of deadlines. We have been granting the same deadlines. Grindin grants a relatively extended deadline to our customers, but always we are always prudent in doing so, and always aiming to increase sales. Of course, in terms of new releases, towards the end of the year, we always have an agenda of new releases. And because of the good performance that we had on Children's Day, we are more hopeful, if you will, regarding the fourth quarter, because when shop owners sell more in Children's Day, they feel more confident to place more orders for Christmas. So as our policy, we don't intend to push the demand or, as the market says, to buy market. We are not going to have any different terms or conditions to gain a temporary market that later on we have to return. Well, this is what we have. And, of course, I have mentioned here several times about our expectations regarding the domestic market in terms of renewal. And we had a drop of 220 million pairs in Brazil. And now, with the market indications, some other retailers have been yielding good results, but always with this expectation, the fourth quarter is likely to display a more favorable economic picture. I hope I have answered to your question.
I have another question. Is there any news about the PIS/COFINS taxes issue? Yes, there were some updates. And the Revenue Services announced its interpretation on how this should be calculated, but this has not been judged yet. And according to the Revenue Services, they say that the calculation will be made according to the balance to be paid, which is a bit controversial, but this is an indication that the Revenue Services understand that this might pass. Okay, thank you. Next question comes from Santiago Gochal. Good morning, Schmidt. This is my question. I want to know if there will be any changes in the fiscal policy next year. In today's, we are going to have the elections, and the leftist candidate said that there is going to be an increase in taxes, and if Bolsonaro wins, he said that no tax increases will take place. My question is how we are going to manage taxes so that we can increase the competitiveness in our businesses as it happened in the United States. So I would like to know how you see this. People say that income tax rate will be decreased, and maybe the increase, there will be a tax on dividends. And this is a possibility that we have to consider. And since Grandin has some, as a legal entity, it has some fiscal incentives, and the shareholder may be taxes in terms of income taxes, I would like you to tell us how you see the situation, and this would be my first question. So if there will be any changes in the fiscal policy, and the second question is related to the cash, the accumulated cash that could be distributed as dividends and even to anticipate the possibility of having the amount taxed. And in terms of fiscal incentives, what would be the impact generated? Maybe on a retroactive basis of everything that had not been collected before. So I would like to have it clear in my mind how this impact would be. So I would like to know if in a situation like this, if there would be any changes, and if possible, you could tell us what would be the impact if we need to pay taxes retroactively. This is it. I didn't quite understand when you mentioned retroactive impact. I do not quite understand what you mean by that. What I mean is the following. The company, considering the fiscal incentive that it receives, you cannot distribute cash. No, that's not correct the way you see it. So it can distribute the cash that has been generated, but it cannot distribute the cash that was generated from fiscal incentives. Is that right? No, that's not it. Let me make it clear. The resource that comes from the state incentive can be distributed by the company as long as you pay tax on it. When the company receives the incentive, I refer to the reduction of ICMS tax. There is a gain, and this gain, upon its receipt, it's not taxed. The moment the company allocates this resource, which is not investing in the company, in other words, for example, to distribute dividends, it has to offer this, and this has to be taxed, because when the company received this resource, it did not pay taxes on it. The actual fiscal regime is that this amount is taxed in a separate manner at 34% full aliquota. There are some adjustments, but it will not receive the incentive from the Federal Revenue Service and not the share of the gain. Otherwise, you're going to have an incentive on the gain based on incentive. So we can have be taxed on 34%. So all the incentive that was generated during the years the resources were generated, it doesn't matter when, if it is transferred to the dividend basis, when this transfer is actually made, taxes will have to be imposed at 34%, but not retroactively. The time you transfer the incentive reserve to the dividend basis, you will tax by 34%. At present, the dividend is exempt from taxes, so you would pay zero. And only if there is a fiscal tax created on dividends, you're going to pay 34 plus the dividend taxes. So this is our current understanding in light of what is applicable at the moment. The government may change the rules. It has in the past, but it's difficult to work considering so many possibilities. So what we have now is this knowledge. And there's nothing that would lead us to believe that there will be a retroactive taxation. And this is why I did not quite understand your question when you mentioned the retroactive part of your question. What I meant was this. It has nothing to do with the new candidates. That was related to my first question. So I would like to know if you're going to pay any taxes on a retroactive basis, and this is what I meant. I refer to the cash when you have this already accumulated. If you have 1.5 billion and you decide to distribute 1 billion reals, according to the rule, you're going to pay 340 million and you will distribute the rest. All those possibilities of tax reform consider different hypotheses. The reduction in income tax is one of the possibilities, considering the American reform that we saw last year and the loss of competitiveness in Brazilian companies. And people say that in order to offset this drop in income tax from 34 to 4, and then the dividends will have taxes imposed on them, but then we do not get good results in terms of math because the government would lose. People even consider the possibility of ending the interest rate on equity, and in that case, people also talk about tax reforms, eliminating taxes, etc. So this is a lot of topics at play, and it's very difficult to define how you're going to get prepared for that, regardless of what each candidate says. And this is my personal opinion. It's a very technical opinion. We have a fiscal deficit today. We have government debt, which is growing. This is a clear sign that in the future, taxes will be higher. So if you add it all, we understand that in the future, and I believe that companies and the taxpayers will pay more taxes. I have no questions about it because this is the only way for the government to pay its obligations. So how we are going to get ready to that? What I can say that as the measures are announced, we're going to make adaptations as we move along, depending on how the tax reform will play out. What we can say today is that GrainDen, considering the sector where it operates in relation to the domestic competitors, it not in a privileged situation. It does not have more or less incentive than the other competitors. So the tax reform will hardly change the competitiveness of our company in the domestic market. And Grandin has proved that it's the most competitive company in this market. In relation to cash, we have a dividend policy. Yes? Yes, go ahead, please. The current policy is that we distribute all profits which do not come from incentives because of the taxation that I've just mentioned, and our shareholders, the directors think that this is a very high taxation, and that's why we do not distribute our resources in order to not to have this taxation rate applied. And this is the reason why. It's not that it's prohibited. Every year in February, when we discuss our results, the board discusses this policy, and we decide to maintain it. Yesterday we had a board meeting, and nobody mentioned anything related to changing the dividend policy, and we are going to continue distributing the income which does not come from any fiscal incentives. So these resources, of course, they are going to be left in the cash of the company, and this money is invested in low-risk bonds. And, of course, it suffers from the drop that we mentioned in terms of interest rate. So there is no update in relation to this topic. Okay, thank you. Perfect. Next question in English comes from Ellen Lee, fashion student. Please go ahead. Your line is open. You may proceed. Ms. Lee, your line is open. You may proceed.
Hi, I'm so sorry. It was on the mute. How are you? I was wondering if you'd be expanding the boys line in Melissa and your store launches more in the U.S., in the New York region. And how are you doing right now with customer demand in the New York City location currently?
Well, in New York, we have a very strong presence of Melissa. We have a Melissa Gallery in New York in Broadway. It has accomplished its mission of developing its role and establishing relationships. We understand there is a great growth opportunity in this market. It's a very competitive market, especially in Melissa line. Ryder has also been playing a very good role. It's a partner. It has been distributed in Universal Studios, which receives lots of visitors. And at Universal Parks, it develops the campaign to communicate the market, and that's a very interesting campaign. And we have different strategies that have been established for the growth in the United States, because we believe that this is a market with high potential. American market has been undergoing a very strong transformation in terms of retailing companies. And we saw some companies that faced difficulties, such as Sears. And we have also seen the growth in the less traditional retailing market. We say Wharton Racks, for example, with very interesting growth. And Grandine has a very strong presence there. Amazon with online sales has been very successful. So Grandine has been following this positive transformation and has been adapting, and it has plans to grow there. Of course, we cannot delineate all those plans, but we do believe that the demand in those countries is likely to grow. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. We now complete the Q&A session. I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Francisco Schmidt for his final considerations. Once again, I would like to thank you all for attending the conference, and I hope I met your expectations. And thank you very much. Have you a good day. Thank you. Grandin's conference call is over. We would like to thank you for your participation, and thank you very much for using Chorus Call.